Again, good to have you here on this Sunday morning. Do trust your heart's been ministered to in our time of worship. Amen. I do appreciate Sunday morning services. Amen. I think worship is critical. It is important. Amen. And also, as I have charged you before, and also, Lord, help us all, myself included, to live this, but have a heart prepared when you come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Get your mind on God. You know, in these services, it's all about what you can receive to go through and do the will of God throughout your work week, your daily routine. So thank God we get to be together and be encouraged. Romans chapter 8, if you would. And y'all do pray for my voice. I don't know what it is. Sometimes the transitions of seasons just seem like my voice gets a little weak. And so just be praying for my voice that it'll hold up. If it gives out, then Austin will just have to preach twice as long tonight. Amen. So how about that? We'll put no pressure on him. He'll just have to fill it all in and feed you this Sunday. Amen. But Lord willing, it'll hold up for us, and we'll trust God to do that. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to conclude. This is our last sermon in this little series that we started last Sunday morning. We began preaching on groaning for glory, And we started there in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be in verse 18. We'll read our full text again, which is Romans 8, 18 through 27. And we started talking about these three types of groanings last Sunday morning. And we'll see them once again as we read our text. This morning, our last part to this little series is going to be the groaning of the Spirit. The groaning of the Spirit. So Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That's the first groan that we looked at last Sunday morning. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, the second groaning there, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now notice, this is our text today, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Notice this, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The groaning of the Spirit is what we're going to look at this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we ask you, Lord, that you would help us in this morning's service. Lord, I would that you touch my voice, God. Help me to get through this message. Would that you would touch the ears of this congregation. God, help us to present this. God, let there be great encouragement in this sanctuary this morning. Let us understand the help of the Holy Ghost. Help us to understand the intercession of the Spirit on our behalf this morning. God, we want to know about these things, these great mysteries, this truth. Help us this morning, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. I believe it is safe to say, as believers, there's a few things that are often perplexing to us. And as I was studying and kind of reading these verses, I believe both of those are represented here in our text this morning. The first thing that often perplexes us is prayer. And the reason I say that it perplexes us, because in reality, the Bible gives us some insight that we know that we should do these things, but often we don't see how things come together or how God is working and moving in so many different areas of life. Have you ever been surprised in prayer before, where you know that you're doing what God wants you to do and you don't fully know how to pray, or you can't pray for every situation that's going on? There's needs that you don't even know about. There's things that that you're going about in your own life, things that you're feeling emotionally, things that you don't understand, circumstances, and you need direction, but you're praying about it, wanting God to intervene, is often a mystery to us. Another thing that is often a mystery to us and is perplexing to us is often the will of God in our lives. Amen. You ever been perplexed trying to find the will of God? We often do that. So prayer and God's will are two things that from the human perspective are massive, or oftentimes perplexing, knowing that we should trust God, knowing that we should do God's will, knowing that we should understand the mind of Christ. And saying something about God's will real quick, I often say this as a church, and I believe this, we have the revealed will of God right here in this Bible, which means these are things that have been revealed to us. I don't have to pray if it's the will of God, if I should leave my wife, or if I should sin, or all these things. I know I should not do those things, but there's also the special will of God in life where I just need God's direction. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to be a part of. So God can help us in those areas that we do not know. So this brings us to our text here this morning. When it comes to prayer, we say things like this: what should I pray for? How should I pray? Can I pray with confidence? If I pray, does it change God's mind? Does it harm things? I don't know God's plans. What should I pray for? If you ever have those questions in your mind, don't feel alone and don't feel discouraged. That is a normal part of human experience. That is part of life. But why is it that we often have these moments of perplexity? Why is it that we often live a life at times where we just don't know what to do or how to handle the situation? Life has a way of doing that to us. Amen. There's times or situations that we wish we could change, and we don't know why we're going through that. Even if you're faithful and you're living towards the Lord, there is no amount of faithful living that can exempt you from perplexities of the mind when you are a believer. So this brings us, number one, what I want you to understand this morning is the Apostle Paul is going to highlight the problem. This is why he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now that word infirmities there is kind of unique. We think of an infirmity as a disease or as a sickness. But in reality, many translations even kind of recoin that term there. Instead of putting infirmities there, they put the word weakness or feebleness. So basically, we can read it right here. It's all the same word in the Greek. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our feebleness and our weakness. So this brings us to the core of the problem. We as human beings, no matter how talented you may be, no matter how smart you may be, no matter how organized you may be, or whatever a wonderful compliment somebody could give you, you are not exempt from the feebleness of your body and the feebleness and the weakness of your mind. You are what you are. You are flesh and bones. You are a human being. And even though we have a spirit and we know we're made in God's image, we are still living in this fallen world. And as we preached last week, even though we are redeemed spiritually, we are still waiting to be redeemed physically. You live in a fallen body. You live in a broken body. You live in a body that's going to misfire and get confused. You live in a body that you have emotions, and there's things that you get upset about that you shouldn't get upset about. And there's things that sometimes your nerves and your thoughts, and that's why the Bible completely several times commands us to look to the Lord, to cast our cares upon Him, to take captive the thoughts of your mind, to think on those things which are good, because your human body will let you down. Your mind will let you down. We are weak. Number one, we are weak physically, right? Anybody ever feel their physical weakness? The disciples did in the Garden of Gethsemane, amen. Pray with me, and they're falling asleep. And I've confessed to you many a time, falling asleep in prayer, amen. There's times you're tired in body, you're sick in body, your mind is weary. And brothers and sisters, you know what I'm talking about. You brothers that are working those jobs very hard throughout the week, and you're putting in your hours during the day, and you're still maintaining a home and maintaining your family and maintaining your experience with the Lord. There's times you're going to doze off and get tired. Amen. There's times you're going to be weary. There's times in life you'll wonder, will there ever be a change in this cycle of life? That is how life is. Look, you know, and we're, me and my wife's at a unique state of life. I come home some days and them two babies have got her, just tired. She'll come in and she said, I've got to go lay down for a few minutes. And laundry and clothes and Braxton, we're trying to potty train them. And boy, that'll wear you out in itself. You think he's got it, then he doesn't have it. It's amazing how many times I'll sit down. It's about 9 o'clock at night. We finally get the kids down. I sit down on the couch and I'm sitting there. I said, man, what a day. And then my wife will come in there with two hampers full of clothes. I said, there's some more clothes? I thought you did that last night. And so we'll hop down there, and I don't want to act too noble because, you know, she'll say, get out and fold these t-shirts if you don't mind. And then complain about the way I fold them. I'll leave that alone. Some of you wives will say amen. Some of you quit asking your husbands amen. So what I'm saying is physically we get tired. If you do have physical ailments that are going on, you wore out, you're tired. There's things that are going on in your body. But not only that, we get tired. And really what this context of this message is, or these verses is this. This is not so much talking about physical weakness, even though that's mentioned in other places in the Bible. This is talking about the weakness of our minds when we have ignorance. That's why it says you don't even know what to pray for. Oh, yeah. We're so limited in what we know and what we think. Your week can change just like that. Your calendar can change just like that. Your plans can change just like that. There's times you're getting down to pray. You know of the situations. You know of the problems. You know of the potential circumstances. You get down to pray and you just don't even know because of your ignorance how to pray about the need or how to deal with the need. Have you ever been there? There's sometimes we get down to pray and we're praying by faith. We're praying that God, I don't even know how to articulate this. And even things that if you could articulate it, you don't even know the situation of tomorrow or the next week. I believe God prepares us for future things or future circumstances at times, and you don't even know why He's doing it. I've had times the Lord would encourage me in a special season of prayer. A time of rejoicing all by myself. And all of a sudden, I later on that week, and I'm telling you, you just feel encouraged in the Lord. You don't always feel that touch maybe in prayer every time you pray, but there's certain times God really touches you in prayer. I encourage you, when you feel those moments, go ahead and bask in His presence and in His glory. Walk around your house with your hands raised and the tears flowing. It's all right. Stay there and spend a season of time in prayer, because sometimes God's encouraged you at that moment because there's something that's coming the next few days you didn't even know we're going to be there. We're ignorant. We're limited. But I like what the Apostle Paul says. He says, our infirmities, our weakness. You know, the Apostle Paul's not sitting there saying, look, this is just something for the immature or the babes in Christ or the younger in the Lord. And he's saying, look, I am an apostle. He said, the Spirit is intercessing for my weakness as well. The great Apostle Paul, the one that's a missionary unto the nations, it's going to help be a light unto the Gentiles. He said, the Lord intercedes for our weaknesses, our feebleness. Everybody in this room, no matter what your age is, no matter what your status is, in life, no matter what your position is, maybe in the church or somewhere else, you need the Spirit to help you in your ignorant moments of life. Interesting. I'm going to give you a few examples of this. And I know y'all are probably about Jobed out, right? Y'all studied Job for a long time. You didn't know you could get that much out of the book of Job, did you? As old preacher says, you can't milk so much out of a turnip. Boy, y'all really got it out of the book of Job. Y'all stayed in there. But I was thinking, I was looking at human ignorance and our lack of understanding. And because the book of Job is fresh upon your minds from your Sunday school classes, we know the story of Job, that he's a righteous man. But even a man that is righteous ended up in a confused state because of his ignorance and his lack of seeing things and not knowing. He's trusting God, yes, but there's confusion there. And Job knew his heart. He had no answers. That can be you at times, that you know your heart. You know your stance before the Lord, but you do not have the answers to your situations. What about Elijah? Courageous, right?
calling down fire on a mountain, but running from Jezebel, sitting underneath that juniper tree and even saying, I would, Lord, that you take my life because I am not as good as my ancestors. So I want to let you know, you can be righteous like Job or courageous like Elijah. Didn't matter what it is, you had the same problem. You're ignorant at times and just don't know what to do. I think of Mary Magdalene at the tomb of Jesus. She loved him. Oh, how she loved him. She's there. Jesus has told her about the cross, or the disciples about the cross. They should know about the resurrection. She doesn't even know what to pray for. And she thought Jesus was a gardener. And there she has confidence. She has love. But just because she has love, it does not exempt her from not understanding what's going on. You need more than righteousness. You need more than courage. You need more than love. You need the Spirit of God to help you in your ignorance in these last days. And I know we have to be careful with this point, but I think about Jesus himself in the garden. I look at Jesus in the garden, and this is a bold example that we have to be cautious with. But it seems there, as we know, that when Jesus became a man, or the God-man, you should say, he came down when he's praying in the garden. We know that he has suppressed a certain level of his divinity, even though at times he taps into that. Even though at times it goes on the Mount of Transfiguration and he peels it back and allows the disciples to see. He also has limited himself to where he's praying, Lord, if there be another way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. We see that there. So unique. It's a bold example. You got to be careful. But Jesus did that for me and you to understand. There's times we need to understand that we are ignorant and need God's help. And I'm by no means saying Jesus was ignorant, but he willfully suppressed his divinity to show us these things. So that's the problem. We are weak. Can I get a good amen on that one? We're ignorant. We're limited, but that's enough about the problem. Let's talk about the answer, and the answer is the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the answer right there. Notice here what it says the Holy Ghost does. Number one, he helps us.
You ever needed help before? Yes. You ever been afraid to ask for it?
I often share an example. There was a woman in the apartment we used to live in. She lived under us. I'd see her get groceries out the trunk of her car. And I'd say, look, ma'am, do you mind if I help you? And she would say no as she's falling down almost. We tend at times in life not to want as much help. And that can be a subtle sense of pride if we're not careful. We got to understand the Holy Ghost is one of those that helps us. He cares about us. Notice here the word helps. And I'm not exaggerating this. In the original language, it is 17 letters long, the word is. And it's actually made up of three words. And what the word really means there, it means so with, or along with, or together with. To take hold of, to remove, or to bear. So altogether, the word refers to a person coming alongside another person to help them with their heavy load and to help bear it up. This is exactly the same type of ministry that Jesus prophesied about. And then in the discourse in the upper room, and John 13, 14, and 15, it talks about the paraclete. It talks about the comforter. What that word means is one that's going to come along beside of you, one that is going to be an advocate, one that is going to help bear your burdens. The Holy Ghost is the comforter. You know, you ever lifted something heavy and you just needed somebody to help you? You know, last week, it was the other day, me and my wife and the kids went and got family pictures. Something's been scheduled for a while. It's never the most enjoyable thing. And I told my wife, I said, is it really this week? And so we have a relative. We drive, it's about an hour and a half away, and we drive to meet her, and she's very kind to us and does a great job taking photos and stuff like that. And so she always has these beautiful, you know, places you go and take these pictures. And she had this kind of ottoman thing that she brought with us to sit on. And the place she wanted to go take pictures was probably about 100 yards, 150 yards away. She said, can you pick that up and carry it? I said, sure.
It won't bat for 10 yards. 20 yards. And then we get out there, and I didn't want to act like, I didn't tell my wife, and I'm letting my guard down here. I said, man, I about killed myself. I'm sweating about to take pictures. So on the way back, I guess it looked kind of easy. So we started putting the pumpkins and stuff inside the ottoman to take back. I'll tell you right now, that last 20 yards, I would have almost paid somebody $50 to get on the other end of that thing. Somebody to help carry it. Amen. Can't ask my wife. She's pregnant. I wouldn't live that one down. Braxton, he wouldn't be much help, I promise. And Chloe, we want to sit on it and me carry her. She thinks she's a princess. But this is the fact right now. When you're carrying something that's heavy physically, it helps just to have somebody on the other end of that thing. To stabilize it, to balance it, to lift some of the weight off of it. What I'm trying to say is, I know these are spiritual problems that we're talking about, but I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you don't have to carry it through life. You don't have to shoulder that burden alone. You may weary yourself, you may exhaust yourself, but I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of God, more than one time, has gotten down beside me, and I realize that there's a help there, there's a comforter there. There's one that's alongside of me. He is the one that helpeth me in my infirmities. Amen. He helps me. Oh, I'm so glad He helps me. I dare say I wouldn't make it a week without His help. Maybe that's prideful. I wouldn't make it a day without His help. Because we are dependent upon His help. I'm ignorant. I'm limited in my knowledge. We strive to study and pray and prepare, but when everything is said and done in this old footstool that we live in down here on planet Earth, it's a dark world. It's a confusing world. But not only does He help us, but the Bible says He intercedes with us. And notice He says the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered or cannot be expressed. Notice here, an intercessor is a person who pleads one case. So the meaning is that the way that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help and shoulder our burden by pleading our case with God when we do not know how to do it. You're down there praying. You're going about your normal routines. You're getting in your car. But the whole time the Spirit is watching and the Spirit is beside you and He's interceding on your behalf what you're going through. He searches our heart. Brothers and sisters, if the Spirit was to withdraw Himself for one day of your life, you would notice a major difference. You remember the story of Jesus talking to Peter? And says something like this, Peter, Satan's asked about you. He wants to sift you like wheat, son. He's asked about you. There's been a conversation somewhere, somehow, maybe potentially something like the story of Job. And we don't know. It's only speculation. But he said, he's asked about you there, Mr. Peter. He said, but guess what? Don't worry. Why? He says, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are restored, go and encourage your brothers. Amen. The whole time, Peter didn't know to pray. You know, it wasn't like Peter was over there one day and saying, you know what, Lord? I know the devil's asking about me. I know I'm not going to make it this week. I know it's going to be tough. No. He didn't even know to pray about the situation. Sometimes you don't even know what the schemes of the enemy is behind this door over here or behind that over there. But there's a God in heaven that knows, and He's interceding on your behalf. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Thirdly, not only does He help us, not only does He intercede for us, thirdly, He groans. Now this is interesting because we talked last week, we talked about creation groaning. That's kind of hard for us to understand. I never heard a tree groan before. We talked about, you know, last Sunday night was a lot more believable. We talked about we as believers groaning. Amen. We grunt and groan all the way to glory. But another perplexing thing is to know that the Spirit groans. You know, it's, what does this mean? As a matter of fact, I did a little time or a little extra reading this week about this. There's a lot of commentators that say this cannot apply to the Holy Spirit. It must apply to believers. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher, says there's no way this can apply to the Godhead because the Godhead does not groan. This must be talking about human beings groaning. It's not what the text says. It says the Spirit groans. Now, this is always a perplexing thing to our little minds. How many believe God cannot change? How many believe God is holy and true? How many believes God is lofty and above creation? But how many also agrees that if God in all of His sovereignty and power chooses to relate with us and chooses to feel what we feel and chooses to interconnect with us and to bear with us, He can. This is one of the beautiful things about the God that we serve among all the other false gods and the false gods of this world. The God that we serve is a God that has entered into our problems through the cross. He knows we have a high priest and we have a spirit that intercedes on our behalf. Let me read this illustration to you from one writer, and if you disagree with it, then I'll tell you who he is, and I don't know if he's still alive or not. But he says, suppose you're helping someone to carry a very heavy load. What is more expressive, a groan as you stagger along beneath it a great deal, or somebody that wants to chatter the whole entire time? You ever lifted something real heavy, and it just wasn't a time to have a conversation? You're sitting there and you're like, we'll talk about it later. And I have lived through this with my own children. I'm doing something that's very strenuous out there doing something. I'll be dangling off the roof trying to clean out the gutters. And Daddy, wait a minute, sweetie. What does this mean? I'm like, I'll talk to you in a few minutes. So notice this writer is saying, imagine what it is to have somebody to groan with you. He said, this certainly does. He talks about, he said, one time he was helping somebody move a piano. And has anybody ever moved a piano? And as soon as you move the piano, you wish you didn't, you would find something else to do with it. Matter of fact, one just came to mind. Ryan and them just moved. And was it a piano you had? Or I did. It felt like an organ, as heavy that thing was. But boy, pianos are heavy. But the thing is, when you're trying to lift this, this illustrator was talking about this. He said, I don't think I would want to sit there very often with somebody who wants to talk about, man, this is a heavy piano. Wonder what kind of brand it is. Wonder where it came from. Wonder how much they paid for it. He's the kind of, this writer was saying, no, but somebody that'll sit there and actually lift the weight with you and groan with you. Look, there's times that God will speak into your life. There is times God will give you direction. But there's other times that God will sit with you in the darkness and lay with you in the night, and instead of speaking to what you already know, He'll sit there and help carry the load with you because He's chosen to do that. The content of the Spirit's groans are unique. They cannot be uttered. Now, I'm Pentecostal through and through, but this isn't necessarily talking about speaking in tongues, though speaking in tongues can apply at times. But notice here what it's talking about. It's talking about the inter-Trinitarian groan. Unique phrase. An inter-Trinitarian groan. It's a unique thought how the Godhead in all His Trinitarian excellence in His complexities operates on the behalf of the believer. We don't even comprehend it all. But we know that He's working. But what is He doing? Verse 27. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Who searches our hearts? God does. This is saying that God, He that searches the hearts, brothers and sisters, He knows what's in your heart. Look, it may not come out during prayer requests because it doesn't have to all the time. But God knows what's in your heart. It may not come out, you may never tell nobody about the situation that's going on in your heart and mind. But there's a God that knows. But notice here what the Spirit does. It says, God that searches our heart, He knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You may not know what the precise will of God is at that moment is for your life. But just like Jude says, we pray in the Spirit. The Lord knows what the Spirit is praying, because everything He prays is in accordance with God's will. There's perfect harmony within the Trinity. Brothers and sisters, this is what we must understand, that God is working on your behalf. Just like last week, let's do a quick review. I don't want to stretch this out too long. I want to do some praying this morning. But last Sunday morning, we talked about it, the creation around us is groaning. I mean, it's groaning for the redemption of the sons of God, where God is going to renovate this world and make all things new. But then last Sunday night, we talked about groaning for a new body, because our bodies are frail and we are weak. But then the question would come, how can we make it through a world of groanings? And the answer is this, it's through the groaning of the Spirit that's praying according to the will of God. I often look back. I was going over my mind a little bit about God's will. It's been confirmed in my heart time and time again that God wants me right here where I'm at right now at this church. I didn't always see it that clearly. As a matter of fact, even when I was contemplating taking this church, I was like, I wish God, can't you just write something in the clouds? And you might have been praying the same thing. Man, can't you just one day we drive past the sign out there and it'll just be flashing on the sign. Be nice, wouldn't it? And if you figure out where to find a sign like that, let me know. Amen. But this is the truth. There have been times I would get down to pray, and in my moments of confusion, I remember to this day where I was when there was a confirmation in my heart. I was preaching at a church in Ohio. The gentleman that pastored the church don't even pastor anymore. A deacon punched him in the face. I'm not making that up. A church that was a unique church by obvious needs. And that I probably shouldn't have thrown that in there, but it's true. I was thinking, and I was like, I remember being at that church and praying in the sanctuary all by myself, praying about this church. And God allowed me to know it's all right to go down that road. Now, just because God said it's all right to go down that road doesn't mean you understand quite everything. You go down the road, but you're seeking God's will. But it's been confirmed to me time and time again that the Spirit was groaning with words and things and circumstances being orchestrated that I did not even know. What does this work to? Let me give you open. If I want you to take your Bibles real quick. I want to show this last verse to you. Go back to Romans 8 real quick. I want to show this to you. Drive this point home. And then we're going to find us a place to pray here this morning. Groaning for God, groaning for glory. If you'll notice there in Romans 8, we're reading today, our text was 26 and 27. I want you to see the flow of this. Let's go back to our text, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. But I love how verse 28 falls right after all of this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, I would love to tell you that you would never have another day that you're going to groan in this life. Groaning being an expression of sorrow, perplexities. Could I tell you, you're going to groan time and time again. You'll stand at the gravesides and you'll groan. You'll stand in the hospitals and you'll groan. You'll get the phone calls and you'll groan. But can I tell you, when those moments come, there's one that knows, there's one that cares. And what is he doing, Brother Derek? The Spirit is building a blessed assurance in your heart. What is that blessed assurance? That you would know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Stand to your feet. So this brings me to this conclusion right here. Do you love God? To answer that as an individual in your own heart, do you really love God? I believe it. Do you believe you've been called according to His purpose? Do you feel like you're saved because God wants you to be saved? Then if you believe that, you know that the Spirit is working on your behalf. It would be an exhausting thing in life if I told you, if God treated this just like a giant math class. And I already told you last week my vendetta against math a little bit. But anyhow, I know it's needful. I know it's needful. But what if God looked at you and says, figure it out. Be strong. Make it to the finish line. What if He told you that? But no, God doesn't do that. He says, look, I know it's confusing. I know it's hard. What do I do? Love me. Trust me. And everything's going to be all right when everything is said and done. We're groaning all the way to glory, and the Spirit is groaning with us. As my wife comes to the piano, as my wife comes to the piano. I was thinking about this as well before I call you to the altars. It's been my pastoral experience now for almost 6 years. Man, we've been through some things as a church. We have. We've seen a lot of good, godly people leave this world. We face some heartache together. And I mentioned this last week, and I want to say it again. This is one of the beautiful things about a church community. We're all groaning together. We're all hurting together. And the Spirit of God doesn't forsake us, but He unites us. There's a unity in the Spirit. And I want God, and I love you all. I appreciate you being here. Thank God for you in the Spirit. I pray for you. But I'll let you know, more than a pastor, more than a deacon, more than a song leader, more than just a brother or sister in the Lord, the greatest encouragement you can have today is this. The Spirit is interceding on your behalf because of your weaknesses. Find you a place to pray this morning. Find you a place to pray in the